If you have ever organized the food for an event, you have probably asked the question, will there be enough? If you've ever had somebody over to your house for dinner that you've cooked, you've probably asked the question, will there be enough? A few years ago, my wife, Brandy, and I invited some friends over, maybe six or eight of them, and we, about 5 minutes before they arrived, I thought I would check on the main dish, which was in the oven. Some sort of a chicken thing that we put together, you know, in some sauce. And I pulled it out and my heart sank. Clearly there was not enough. The portion size was woefully inadequate for the group that was coming. Now, it's 5 minutes before your guests come. There's clearly not enough food. What would you do? That was quick. I could barely get that out and you answered it. I like that. We didn't have any noodles on hand, but here's what I did is I cut the chicken into small bite-sized pieces. Instead of everybody getting a full chicken breast, they would start with a quarter or a sixth of a chicken breast. And I replaced the serving spoon, you know, the large serving spoon. I put a small one there. That might encourage, you know. I looked for some bread just to fill out the meal, and I made sure everyone had a large glass of water before they began the meal. Did it work? Yeah, sort of. I mean, the guests were gracious, of course. They thanked us. I don't think anyone left really hungry, but I couldn't help but feel that this whole experience was somehow inadequate. That for both the guest and the host, we were left, in a word, unsatisfied. What happens when what is needed, there's a gap between what is needed and what you have to give? Well, the word for that is inadequate. And we all know and struggle with feelings of inadequacy. If I were to ask you about what you don't have enough of, some of you would say, I don't have enough money. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough talent. I don't have enough friends. We all don't have enough of something. And we may even start to believe that we are inadequate, that we are not attractive enough, we are not experienced enough, we are not extroverted enough or introverted enough. Tonight we're going to read a story from the pages of Scripture from the Gospel of Mark, and it is a story about inadequacy. What you do when there's not enough. And we're going to look at how the disciples responded and how Jesus responded. And we're going to look at how we might respond when we feel inadequate. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Mark chapter 6. We continue in our series entitled True Greatness. We're going to be reading starting in verse 30. It's going to be on the screen as well. Normally, we read the whole story and then comment on it after. But tonight we're going to do something different. We're going to try to stay in the story and pause at certain points to reflect and to wonder what it means to us. Let me also mention that I'm kind of a numbers guy. So to not have enough food is kind of embarrassing for me because I think in terms of numbers. I used to be a math teacher. And in this story, there are a lot of numbers. So I'm going to pause and acknowledge those numbers and in some ways let the numbers tell the story. Mark 6, starting in verse 30. God's word. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Now, this part of the story sets up what's to come later. Let's review the context. Jesus, earlier in chapter 6, has sent his disciples on mission. Just like you and I have been sent on mission in the world, we've been sent to UBC and SFU, we've been sent to our workplaces and our schools, we've been sent to our neighborhoods. We are on mission with Jesus. He sent the disciples out two by two, and he told them, go and announce the good news about Jesus. Do it with your words. Do it with your actions. And don't worry about what you're going to take. Don't take food and money and a whole bunch of things. You don't need that. Just go. It's your presence that you can offer them. And as we pick up the story, the disciples are coming back from a very full and a very exhausting few days of ministry. Ministry, being on mission with Jesus, can wear us out. The disciples are pretty worn out. In fact, their schedule has been so full that the scriptures say they did not even have a chance to eat. You ever just work through lunch? You're so busy. You ever get grumpy later in the day because you haven't eaten? Here's a little bit of the headspace that the disciples are in. Imagine you're one of the disciples. You've been going strong. You've been with people. You've been praying for them, seeing them healed. You've been sharing your faith with them. You've been rejected. It's been tough, but now is your chance to reconnect with Jesus, to refresh a little bit, to step back from the crowd, and to just be with Jesus. It's kind of like that last day of work before your vacation. You're just about to head off for a week where you can rest and refresh and recharge. It's that last exam before the end of the semester. You need it. You're looking forward to it. Here's where the disciples are at. They see Jesus, and Jesus has a great idea. He says, why don't we go on a little mini cruise together? All-inclusive mini cruise on a boat with Jesus. Doesn't that sound pretty good if you're wiped out? Just a way to get away from all of the pressures and the people and the needs, to leave all that behind, to get into the boat and to sail off, you, Jesus, and an all-inclusive menu before you. Doesn't that sound great? Anybody ready for one of those mini cruises with Jesus? That's where the disciples are at. But there's a problem. The scriptures tell us that as they set off, their ministry was so effective and helpful that people started to gather on the shoreline and follow them along the shore and wave them back. And they sent out word on social media to the other towns, Jesus is here, come quick. And the neighboring towns came, and there was a huge crowd. And Jesus sees the crowd, and he says to his disciples, we need to go back. What do you think the disciples are feeling at this point? No, Jesus, let's just push away, ignore them. Turn your head away from the crowds. And Jesus says, no, the mini cruise is over. We've got to go back to the shore. They land, and they are overwhelmed with people. They are overwhelmed with needs. Later in the story, we find out about the size of this crowd. Mark tells us it was 5,000 men, which means 5,000 households, which most commentators believe means about 20,000 people. the largest crowd Jesus was ever before. 20,000 is the number that represents immense need. The disciples are depleted, and yet here they are face to face with even greater need. Sometimes you just hit compassion fatigue, don't you? You've had enough, you need to get away. And now the disciples are filled with a Rogers Arena full of needy people who are hungry. This is not what they bargain for, not what they feel that they need. The disciples' hearts sink. But what happens to Jesus' heart? It lifts, it rises. The scriptures say Jesus had compassion because they were like sheep without a shepherd. That's a really powerful word picture, because if you know anything about sheep, they are totally helpless. They are the high maintenance animal of all high maintenance animals. They cannot find their way to green pastures. They get lost. They wander off. Did you know that sheep cannot find their way to water? That sheep will actually walk off a cliff? Did you know that? They're totally helpless and vulnerable. They are an easy meal for any predator. And Jesus sees this crowd of hungry, needy people. And he says, they're like sheep without a shepherd. It's like seeing a hospital full of people who are wounded, but not one doctor or one nurse anywhere to be seen. The disciples' hearts sink, but Jesus' heart rises and goes out to these people. And what does he do? To people who are lacking direction, who need the word of God to survive, he begins teaching many things. We pick up the story in verse 35. By this time, it was late in the day. So his disciples came to him. This is a remote place, they said, and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered, you give them something to eat. How does Jesus respond to people in need? The scriptures say he begins to teach them many, many, many things. It was late in the day. Jesus isn't a 30-minute sermon kind of guy. He's not a 3 points and wrap it up. He continues teaching and teaching. Imagine that Jesus is a guest speaker at third service. That'd be pretty cool, hey? Cool guest speaker. Jesus Christ, this Sunday, the series True Greatness. He gets up. You guys start at 6:30. 7:30, usually you wrap up around 8. Jesus is still going strong. Teaching many things. 9 o'clock rolls around, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock rolls around. Jesus is still preaching. The people in the crowd here are eating it up, but the disciples have had enough. Have you ever had enough? You listen to a sermon and you're thinking, man, this is going long. Let's kind of wrap this thing up here. You ever thought that? Maybe don't answer that tonight. But the disciples are hungry in the middle of the sermon. That ever happened? Do you ever get hungry in the middle of the sermon? The disciples are thinking, okay, Jesus, let's wrap this up. You know, Jesus, there are some drive-thrus in the town close by. If we dismiss the people, they can probably, you know, fend for themselves. There's 20,000 of them, but, you know, every man, woman, child for himself, and remember, the disciples are depleted. They are exhausted. The number that I see here, though it's not written, is the number zero, because this represents what the disciples have to offer. You ever feel this way? That emotionally, spiritually, you're at zero? You just have nothing left to give? The disciples are here, and interestingly, how they respond to the crowd, to the needs. Send them away, Jesus. Send them away. In fact, Greek scholars tell us that this is a very strong command that the disciples give to Jesus. They have had it. They've had enough. They are hungry. They are tired. They are fatigued with compassion, and they say, Jesus, send them away. You know, when the gap between what is needed and what you have is too great, it just becomes too painful. You either run away or you send the needs away. Send them away, Jesus. But when Jesus sees this crowd, it's like a group of orphans without a caring, loving adult. Do you send away orphans on their own and say, every kid for himself? Do you send away sheep on their own and say, best of luck? Jesus cannot do that. If I was there, I would have been more savvy. I would have tried this approach with Jesus. I would have walked over and said, Jesus, first of all, thank you for the sermon. Thank you for the whole series that you've done in one day. I mean, really good stuff, Jesus. Thank you. The disciples and I were thinking that the people, we're fine. Like, we could stay all night. But the people that you love, the people that are like, you know, the little sheep that you have so much compassion for, the people are getting tired and they're hungry. So even though we're fine, why don't you wrap it up and we'll send them on their way? But Jesus responds, you give them something to eat. It's almost as if Jesus is heightening their sense of inadequacy. They have nothing left. They have nothing to give. They have no money. Jesus even told them, don't take money with you. Why is he asking them to give the crowd something to eat? Why would Jesus ask them to do something impossible? He's heightening their sense of inadequacy, of not having enough, of not being enough. He brings them to their breaking point. The truly great acknowledge that none of us on our own have enough. We don't have what it takes. We don't have enough faith. We don't have enough love. You know, here at 10th, over the past few months, year, we've talked a little bit more about being on mission. And as you know, as we've started this new congregation in East Van, we've really talked about what does it mean to be on mission. And as I've reflected and heard back from people who are trying to live on mission, they feel inadequate. We feel inadequate. Here's what I hear. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough energy. I don't have enough love. I don't have enough patience. I don't have enough faith. I'm not extroverted enough to talk to my neighbor. Have somebody over? My place isn't big enough. My place isn't clean enough. We all have something that we can say, we don't have enough of this. The disciples have nothing, and Jesus helps them to acknowledge their inadequacy. The truly great are not people who have it all. The truly great are people who openly acknowledge, I am inadequate. I don't have enough. I don't have the strength or the knowledge or the expertise. I don't have a charismatic enough personality to share my faith with a coworker. I'm not extroverted enough to do this. The starting point for following Jesus is to admit our inadequacy. It doesn't disqualify us. It is the starting point. Once we acknowledge it, we take the first step in the 12-step program, which says, I'm completely powerless to change things. My life has become unmanageable and I need help. Jesus is leading them through the 12 steps. He gives them a task which is impossible, and they must face their own inadequacy. But he won't let them get paralyzed. He won't let them get stuck there. Look what he says next in verse 38. He has just told them, you give them something to eat. Now in verse 38, how many loaves do you have? How many loaves do you have? He said, go and see. And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. The disciples thought they had nothing. They really do have nothing. But lo and behold, a kid is running around the crowd. Apparently, this little guy has run off to town and he has gone to a fast food restaurant and he has brought back a kid's meal. It's a 2-piece fish with extra rolls. And there he is running around with this tiny little meal. They thought they had nothing. They do have nothing. But Jesus says, how many loaves do you have around you? Go and see. Look around you to see what is there. And they find 5 plus 2. Now, being the math person that I am, I figured out what percentage each person would get. Did you know that each person in that crowd would get 1/10,000th of a piece of fish? Each person in the crowd would get 1/4,000th of one of those biscuits. I think the disciples fully expected Jesus to say, oh, I'm sorry, that's all that's here? I'm sorry, yes, let's dismiss them and they can be on their way. What the disciples have, what they've looked around and found is tiny, it's minuscule, it's insignificant, it's laughable. 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed a hungry crowd at Rogers Arena, 20,000 people? It's almost embarrassing. Yet, we find that the disciples who are convinced that there is not enough, we find out that what they have is just enough. You may think that you have not enough, but this story reminds us that whatever you do have is just enough. We like to focus on what we don't have. I don't have time. I don't have money. I don't have 40 hours to volunteer for that. No, but maybe you have 1 hour. I don't have money to be able to, you know, help kids in China start an orphanage. No, but maybe you can sponsor one child I don't have a big enough place to host people. What do you have? What is it that you do have that you can offer to Jesus? He invites us tonight to look. How many loaves do you have? Go and see. Well, the disciples give this pitiful, this tiny, this meager kid's meal to Jesus. And Jesus says, it's just enough. And he takes this, and let's find out what he does with it. Verse 41, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all, and they all ate and were satisfied. The disciples have almost nothing, yet they offer it to Jesus. Just the other night, I was taking out the garbage, and at the end of the day, you know, when I get home, I gotta be honest with you, I'm kind of peopled out. I've had meetings and interactions and staff meetings. I've had to work with Jay and Craig all day. I'm burnt out. And what I need is a little downtime, no demands. That's hard to do when you go home and you have 4 kids at home. But I kind of need to take a step back. And here I am taking out the garbage, which is like a 20-minute procedure here in Vancouver, you know, sorting everything. And I noticed that my neighbor is doing the same across the alley. And I said hi to him and, you know, started sorting things. And then I started walking back inside, and I just froze for a moment. And I thought, here's a neighbor that I've been trying to connect with. Many of you will know that I feel an increasing calling to try to live out my faith right in my own neighborhood, to connect with neighbors, to actually do what Jesus said when he said, love your neighbor. I thought, well, if I'm going to love them, I probably need to know their names and get to know them first. And I've been trying to live this out. Here's a neighbor. He's outside. But I'm feeling like I don't have the energy. But I freeze in this moment and think, I'm preparing this sermon on the 5 and the 2, the insignificant gift that I can offer, the tiny little thing that I can present to Jesus. And I thought, I don't have a half an hour. I don't have an hour. I have 5 minutes. So I turned around and I started engaging with my neighbor. And he told me that he was going fishing on a week-long fishing trip up to northern BC. And I said, oh, my son Ethan loves fishing. We tried it last year. He'd love to do more of it. And, you know, where do you go fishing locally? And he started sharing with me his stories. Honestly, after about 5 minutes, he says to me, I have an idea. Why don't you and Ethan come with me fishing for a morning? We'll go somewhere local. You can use my rods, and I'll show you where to fish, and we'll do it together. And I walked away from that after 5 minutes and went inside to do some more sermon prep on the 5 and the 2, and the connection was just too obvious. We don't offer what we don't have. We offer simply what we have, no matter how small, no matter how seemingly insignificant, no matter how tiny it seems in the face of the needs around us, and we trust Jesus to work it out. The truly great just simply offer what they have, and they leave the rest to Jesus. Notice for a second what greatness looks like in the world. Greatness means you never let them see your weakness. You never appear to be vulnerable. You never appear to be inadequate. If you feel inadequate, you bluff your way through it. That's the picture of true greatness, because inadequacy You know, that doesn't really inspire confidence in the world, does it? And yet here we see Jesus turns it all upside down. And he says, no, the truly great realize that they don't have enough, that they are not enough. But they give what they have, and for Jesus, it's just enough. And in this conclusion of the story, we see that Jesus takes their small little gift. And I want you to notice that when Jesus blesses it, it is still 5 and 2. The miracle has not yet happened. Jesus blesses it, and it doesn't magically multiply right there. He gives it back to the disciples. Yes, he gives the 5 and the 2 back to the disciples, and he says, distribute it to the crowd. I would just imagine that Jesus gives me a half a biscuit, and I'm walking toward a crowd of 100 hungry people with this tiny little biscuit. And I'm feeling pretty vulnerable here because I still don't have hardly anything to offer. It's embarrassing. Completely vulnerable. And I can see myself walking to that first group of 100 people thinking, what am I doing? What is Jesus thinking here? And going to the very first person, like I'm out of earshot of Jesus, and I say, just take a tiny, tiny, tiny little piece and pass it on. Well, the first person takes more than they should, and so does the second. But somehow, the miracle takes place. The disciples go from not enough to good enough, and now we find out there's more than enough. The miracle doesn't happen in the hands of the master, but it happens in the hands of the disciples and the people as they start to distribute. The truly great step out in faith and share what they have and leave the rest to God and trust that he's going to work it out. The story is not quite finished. There's one more number, and it's found in verse 43. The disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. We've just found out that everyone is satisfied. When I hosted dinner at my house, I couldn't help but feel that we were all a little unsatisfied. There wasn't enough. But when Jesus serves the meal, everyone leaves satisfied. The disciples, who were very unsatisfied at the beginning of the story, are now satisfied. And yet there's something left for them. 12 baskets of broken pieces of bread and fish. Commentators argue about what's the significance of the 12. Well, it's 12 tribes of Israel. It's the region of 12. I like to take the most obvious answer, which is right in the text. How many disciples are there? 12. How many disciples thought that there wasn't enough? 12. How many disciples had nothing to offer? 12. How many disciples are compassion fatigued and done and not knowing what Jesus? 12. How many baskets of leftovers are there? 12. Jesus reminds his disciples, there's one doggy bag here for each of you. I am the God who gives and provides more than enough. And I will not only take care of the crowd, but I will take care of you. When you seek my kingdom first, even when you feel you have nothing to give and nothing to offer, when you feel completely inadequate, I will make sure there's enough for you too. Just enough? No, more than enough. Let me leave you with this question. It's the same question Jesus asked his disciples. How many loaves do you have? What small, seemingly insignificant things, gifts, what small amount of time, what small amount of money or resources or energy can you offer to Jesus? Though you feel it's not enough, it is just enough for Jesus. And he will ensure that it is more than enough for you and for others. What loaves do you have? What's your 5 and 2? Go and see and offer it to Jesus. Let's pray together. So, Spirit of God, on this Pentecost Sunday, we, like the disciples that day on the beach, like the disciples in the upper room, we acknowledge our inadequacy. We simply do not have enough, and yet we hear you asking us, what do you have? Go and see. Let me invite you just in the quiet moment here to ask the Lord to help you see. What is it that you have to offer? And Lord, may you take our tiny, our insignificant, our minuscule offerings, may you take it and bless it. And may you help us to distribute it to our coworkers, to our neighbors, to our friends, to our families. To offer what you have blessed, and may you multiply it. May we be truly great because we are offering simply what we have and leaving the rest to you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.